Hi, you're listening to Petri.com's MJF Chat Show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petri.com community magnet, and I'm here to interview industry experts about various topics that you, our readers, want to know about. So today's MJF Chat is all about how tech pros can get started with AI using Microsoft technologies. And my guest today is Gary Pretty, conversational AI consultant at Mando, and a Microsoft MVP. Welcome, Gary.
Hello. Hi, Mary.
Hello. It's so great to have you on. We're longtime friends and colleagues, so this is going to be really fun.
Yes. Very long time.
There's a lot going on right now, too, in the Microsoft AI and conversation spaces. I was just at Build, where Microsoft showed off some new plans for their conversational engine that they're going to bake into Cortana and make available to others via the bot framework and Azure services. And cognitive services are all over the map. They're springing up, it feels like, almost daily. And I feel like it's a very hot topic right now. But yes, I will say, in talking to some tech pros, I know more than a few feel a little overwhelmed and underprepared to take advantage of these kinds of technologies. So here's looking at you, Gary. I want you to help explain why they don't need to be afraid and why they should be excited about jumping in.
Sure. Well, I guess the first thing to say in terms of not being afraid to jump in and why you should be excited is this technology really allows you to get a lot done and really have a real impact with very, very little effort. This is a technology that's only been around for, say, like 2.5 years now, since a Build 2 or 3 years ago. And when it was first introduced, the idea behind it was to give developers the ability to build one single bot application, maintain a single bot application, but then make that available on multiple channels. So things like Skype, maybe web chat, Facebook Messenger. And the idea of bots really isn't anything new. But up until fairly recently, we would need to go and build an individual bot for each one of those channels. But I guess the first thing to say really is, behind the scenes, a bot is just a web application. It's a web application, and the Bot Builder SDK, which we use to build bots, really just handles all the complicated bits for you. So sending messages to and from the channels, so receiving a message from Facebook, sending messages back to a user, all of that complexity is actually wrapped up for you in the Bot Framework Connector service that Microsoft handle and sits in Azure, which is fantastic. And then you can focus as a developer on simply building a great conversation. And you know, that's the first thing I always do encourage people to think about when they start to think, should I be getting involved with bot building?
Yep, that's a really good beginning. We also had a question from a reader calling himself or herself Bots or Not, saying,
nice.
we heard a lot about bots from Microsoft a few years ago at Build, as you just alluded to, but the conversation feels like it's gone a bit quiet. Can you explain if bots are really Microsoft's focus anymore, or if this is just a thing they built, tossed out into the open to see what happens?
It's a good question. I think we all know that sometimes technologies get thrown against the wall to see what sticks. I think the message I've certainly received from Microsoft over the last couple of years is that they are really betting big on this sort of technology. The Bot Builder SDK and the Bot Framework really are at the core of the AI services. They're a core pillar of the AI services that they want to offer for developers. I certainly don't get any sense that they are just throwing it out to see what happens. I think we've seen the growth. There's been a fairly rapid growth of an uptake of the technology. And there are a lot of bots out there that are built on this platform. There's a very good chance that, you know, on any given day, you'll be interacting with one or more bots or services that are using this SDK under the hood. But ultimately, as we've talked about before, if you're a developer that needs the bot framework, that you want to build with the bot framework, you know about it, it's there, it's one of the most important tools in your toolkit. But just like so many of those other you know, products and services on Azure and elsewhere in the technology industry, sometimes it just takes somebody to introduce you to them for you to actually pick it up and get going. Just because you've maybe never heard of it or you don't know how to get started doesn't mean it's difficult. There are so many products and technologies out there right now that it's really hard for some of them to make a big noise over, you know, some of the bigger projects that everybody is using, you know, maybe like, you know, .NET Core, for example. But no, this is a super hot area right now. Microsoft are investing big in this space.
Do you think it's a good strategy for someone who, say, has never really dabbled much with AI to say, I'm all right, the way I'm going to get into this is start with the bot framework? Or is that kind of more for someone who's a little further advanced?
No, I think it's a really good idea. And actually, I did that exact thing myself. So I'd never dabbled in anything to do with AI at all. I'd never used any of Microsoft's cognitive services. And I saw the bot framework at Build and thought, hey, that's pretty neat. I think I can build something pretty cool with that for some of our customers. And I went away and built a proof of concept in a few hours. And that's really straightforward and simple to do. And it really allows you to dip your toe in the water, because as we'll come on to talk about later, the other services that you use with the Bot Builder SDK, the cognitive services, the things that really add the magic to your bot, are really then going to take you further down that journey into using those AI services that Microsoft have to offer. And you can keep going and using things like Azure Machine Learning, etc. But the Bot Builder SDK is a great place to start. It's a phenomenally powerful tool for building awesome solutions for either yourself or your users or your customers. It really is awesome.
Do you feel like somebody needs to understand concepts around data science or machine learning, or do you even need to be a programmer to start using the bot framework? Like, where do you need to come in into the equation?
Okay, so you definitely don't need to understand things like machine learning and any, you know, deep complex AI topics. It's worth calling out here, I'm a Microsoft AI MVP, but I focus on the Bot Builder SDK, the bot framework, and the cognitive services. I don't write my own machine learning algorithms. I don't really get that deep. I am using the services that are available off the shelf to combine them to build awesome solutions. So you certainly don't need to have that in your toolkit already, far from it. What you do need is to ideally be a web developer, and that could either be with Node, Node.js, JavaScript, or you could be using ASP.NET. And as long as you have got some experience in those technologies, or indeed Python or Java are coming down the line as well, they're in preview right now. As long as you've got experience in one of these languages, you're going to be able to pick up this SDK really, really quickly. Microsoft have done a phenomenal job of making the documentation really pretty rock solid for the bot framework. That wasn't always the case, and they completely overhauled it in the last 12 months version 4. Yeah, with version 4 of the SDK, they overhauled the documentation, and it's so much better. And they spent a lot of time thinking about how do we put together the samples, the sample projects, the sample code, so that people know where to get started. And those sample projects are designed so that you can move through them one by one, and each one introduces a new core concept. But you can literally take 5-10 minutes to look through one of these samples and understand the core concepts of building a bot. To get started really easily, you can go into the Azure portal and spin up a bot app in just a couple of minutes. And you can say, I want a bot app, and you can pick from some templates. You can either have a really basic Echo bot, which will just repeat back to you what you've said in the web chat window. And that can be really useful to just get used to, okay, well, how am I sending and receiving messages? Mm-hmm. Then you can spin up another web app, which is then starting to introduce some of those cognitive services that we talked about and some of the key concepts there. And then once you've progressed and you understand all of those concepts, Microsoft is then doing an amazing job of saying, okay, we don't want our customers to reinvent the wheel. One of the things that I think is happening across Microsoft, certainly over the last 12, 18 months, is they're saying they are looking at their customers and they're realizing that everybody was actually reinventing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And a really good example of this was the Virtual Assistant Accelerator. So the Virtual Assistant Accelerator is a solution, a pre-built solution that's open source and made available to developers by Microsoft. It's open in GitHub. And it is essentially a virtual assistant built on the bot framework, which will allow a user who is interacting with it, maybe via web chat or via Microsoft Teams, which is one of the other channels, to do things like book appointments in their calendar, but using conversation. So they can say, book me a meeting with Mary Jo on Wednesday between 2 and 4 in meeting room 1. Mm-hmm. And they're going to use the cognitive services and the bot framework to make that happen. But you don't have to build that from scratch. They're going to give you the base code for you to then tweak and hone to make it your own. And because they realized that every enterprise customer that they were talking to was looking to try and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So building out these solutions and actually sharing the best practices that they're finding means even if you're looking to build out something really quite complicated, it doesn't have to take a lot of time or a lot of effort. You can really focus on tailoring it for your needs.
That sounds also like a good way. Somebody who isn't a developer at all, but is more like a tech pro, could start checking this technology out and seeing how it could be used in their organization.
Yes, absolutely. You can, as a tech pro, as long as you've got some basic skills, you know, the ability to maybe go and check out a repo from GitHub and get a project up and running and just, you know, see it working. That's one really good way of doing it. I mean, another way is just to go and check out some of the awesome content that's available online around this area. I'm one of the AI MVPs, but I've got colleagues of mine who produce some phenomenal video content on YouTube, where you can just go and watch 5-minute videos and they will take you from almost zero to hero in terms of bots and show you how do these things work, and they'll explain those core concepts for you. The community is also really, really friendly. You know, the idea that anybody can really reach out to any one of us and we'll do our absolute best to help. It's a very unusual week if I don't get 2 or 3 requests just via DMs on Twitter, just saying, I'm just getting started, I've hit a problem, how can I fix this? And I'll quite often work with people backwards and forwards until they've got their solution working, because that's where I really see and get my value from being an MVP, is showing other people how they can work with this technology and seeing them be successful.
So we've mentioned the word cognitive services a couple of times, but can you get a little deeper on that? When I talk about them in articles, I just say these are APIs that developers can add to their products and services to make them AI enabled. But that's kind of a little simplistic, I admit. But you know, if you're a tech pro, what do you need to know about what are cognitive services and what kinds of things they could help you with in your job?
Sure. And I don't necessarily think that that's too simplistic a way to describe it. I would say exactly how I would describe it to customers that I'm talking to or other developers, because the beauty of the cognitive services a lot of the time is their simplicity and how straightforward they are to pick up and use. Going back to that point that I made earlier about Microsoft wanting to not have people reinvent the wheel. Let's take something like image recognition. Image recognition has been around for a long time, so has things like speech recognition. But everybody was building their own models, and you needed a team of data scientists, you needed, you know, a lot of programmers, and ultimately all different enterprises, all different customers were building their own from scratch. Mm-hmm. Now Microsoft have said, well, hang on, we've got a ton of experience in these areas from the last 20, 30 years. How about we take all of the great technology that we've got behind the scenes, and we make that available off the shelf for you to use. It's this whole idea of democratizing AI. Microsoft have been using that buzzword for a couple of years, but for me, it's more than just a buzzword. It's very much a mantra for them. The idea of getting these services into the hands of customers so that you don't have to have all this knowledge and you don't have to maintain these models. So we use these cognitive services a lot with bots. So if you think about the bot framework and the bot builder SDK as being the platform that controls sending messages between a user and a platform like Facebook or Teams, really we then use the cognitive services to understand what a user is talking about. So if they use the example for booking a meeting on a particular day at a particular time, we can use the language understanding service to understand what their intent is, what do they mean, and what are the important pieces of that phrase. You know, it's the time, it's the location, it's the attendees. Or we can use the cognitive services to control how we speak back to a user as well. So using things like the translation service, for example, you know, one of, I think there's around 50 different languages now that you can, you know, convert and translate between. We can actually use the translation services to detect the language that a user is speaking on the way in to a bot, convert that into a language that we understand as a developer, act on that, you know, the query that the user has sent in, produce a response, and then translate that back into the language and send it back to the user, all in real time without any noticeable delay. I mean, these services are incredibly powerful. And just at Build a couple of weeks ago, we saw some really awesome services being announced either in preview now or private preview over the next couple of months. Things like the personalizer service that's going to allow you to effectively get personalized results. You know, you think about the recommendations, for example, on Amazon, or the recommendations of what to watch on Netflix. And again, we could have built a service like that in Azure ML over the last 12, 24 months. We could have done it ourselves before that. But ultimately, you would have needed a special set of skills. Right now, all you need is the ability to know how to call an API. And that's the beauty of cognitive services.
Another thing we saw at Build that I thought was very interesting, but I think a lot of people didn't quite understand what they were seeing, was that turn-by-turn conversational engine that they showed, where you don't have to every time say like Cortana, blah, 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 Cortana. You could just say, Cortana, what's the weather today? Then follow it up with, do I need a coat? Should I bring an umbrella? And it will follow your conversation as if you were talking to a person. And Microsoft said that's being enabled by some of the technology they acquired when they bought Semantic Machines about a year ago. So I'm curious, you know, Cortana is not really your thing, quote unquote, but you are a conversational AI expert, and a lot of kind of armchair industry watchers think when you say AI, they think, oh, you mean Siri or Alexa or Cortana, and they just think of that as the whole kind of ball of wax there. So I'm curious about that particular technology, set of technology. We didn't really get a sense of how close or far away that is, but what was your take on it? Do you think it's just demoware, or do you think this is something that people like you and other people working with these technologies are going to be able to take advantage of anytime soon?
Yeah, okay. That's a really good question. And, you know, I'll preface this by saying this is just my opinion. Exactly. I don't have any secret source from Microsoft. Okay. But the one thing I would definitely say is, look, we know that Microsoft has a rich history of being able to show a vision of the future. You know, I remember when Windows Mobile 6 was around and we were seeing these really visionary videos and clips of what does communication look like in 5-10 years time. I do think this is slightly different, though. I think whilst we don't have access to that technology right now, the services that are coming out behind things like the Bot Builder SDK and Cortana, and you can build Cortana skills using the bot framework, the Bot Builder SDK. The service we're seeing come out behind those platforms really do allow you to start having those turn-by-turn conversations. Now, it may not be as advanced as what we saw in the video right now.
Right.
But what we are seeing are things like there's a service called Q&A Maker, and that allows you to provide a series of questions and answers in a knowledge base. And then when somebody asks a question, we use machine learning and it will automatically go and pick the most appropriate answer from that knowledge base. Well, at Build, they announced a new capability for the Q&A Maker, which is follow-up questions and follow-up prompts. So you could, in theory, string a whole bunch of those questions together. You don't need to know the order beforehand. You just need to say, these questions relate to these follow-up questions, which relate to these other questions. And that's going to allow you to do something similar to that. I think another technology to keep an eye on from my perspective would be the Project Conversation Learner, which right now is in the Cognitive Services labs. And it's been there for some time, but it's still in under active preview. And Conversation Learner is, rather than you needing to go away and be a developer and build a conversation using code, where you are really controlling at quite a granular level, what does that conversation look like in terms of its structure? And we've still got a lot of flexibility in terms of how that conversation might branch and flow, and we can make it feel supernatural. Whereas Project Conversation Learner, though, takes that out of the way and it learns from examples. So you as a developer or maybe even just a business user can actually train Conversation Learner to have a conversation autonomously by having a conversation with it. So you can actually provide the both sides of the conversation. So you might say, hey, is it going to rain today? And then you can provide the follow-up. And that follow-up can be calling out to third-party services. And what this allows you to do is, with enough training with Conversation Learner, it can intelligently switch contexts and move between different topics of a conversation fairly effortlessly. So I think we're a lot closer to that video than we may think. I think, you know, Microsoft's history of showing some demoware sometimes, it can feel like these things are a long way away. But looking at how far we've come just in the last couple of years in terms of Microsoft AI, I think we're going to see some of this pretty soon.
Interesting. Okay. To step kind of up one level, I think a lot of people want to know, what kinds of things can I do better or at all with things like cognitive services and the bot framework that might be impossible for me to do otherwise? I guess what I'm thinking about is, okay, it sounds amazing. It's like this technology is so futuristic, but it's also starting to actually show up in real life. But what's an example of something you would do with one of your clients, say, that you couldn't do or you couldn't do easily without these technologies?
Sure. So let's put bots aside for 1 second and let's look at a really simple example with cognitive services. So we had one of our clients and they had a problem where people were visiting the website, they were searching in the search box, and they were coming up with either irrelevant search results or no search results, because the query that they were typing in maybe didn't have, they were using different terms and different phrases that didn't maybe match the content on the website. And it was kind of a problem. Okay. So we looked elsewhere in the industry and said, okay, who does search really well? And we didn't look at Bing, we looked at Google. And we said, okay, what did Google do that's really awesome in terms of search? And actually, one of the most simple things they do is they will predict what you're looking for and give you the answer straight away. So if I type in, what's the exchange rate pound against the dollar? It will give me the answer. It doesn't expect me to go and search through the results and click through to a website. We can actually enable an experience just like that using the cognitive services. So what we did, we took two cognitive services, language understanding and the Q&A maker. We trained them and it really didn't take us long at all. I mean, we're talking a few hours for each service here. And we put some questions and answers in and we trained it to understand a user's intent. And we call those services now whenever somebody types into that search box. And what that means is whenever they type into the search box, as well as searching through the standard web pages, we are also using machine learning to go and find appropriate FAQs. So maybe they've typed in, I've lost my account number, or how can I pay by a credit card? And we can bring those FAQs back and display them above the search results in exactly the same way that Google does.
Yes.
And the reason that is so powerful is you can have 1,000 different users say their search query in 1,000 different ways, but because of the simplicity of the cognitive services, they can all resolve to the same FAQ or the same call to action.
That's very cool. Nice. Well, we're almost out of time.
Okay.
But thank you so much for helping decipher these complex topics for our readers and listeners. However,
before
you go, I need to ask you a beer question.
Okay.
Carrie and I are craft beer buddies, so we always talk about beer whenever we get together.
Yes.
So my question for you today is, what's your summer go-to craft beer style? I know you spend a lot of time in Florida, so you probably have some good options that you go to when the weather is quite warm.
I do, and I literally just got back from Florida a couple of days ago. Summer vacation, and
nice.
My go-to right now has to be the Funky Buddha Hefeweizen, and the name of the brewery is actually escaping me right now, but it's a Floridian brewery, and it's a phenomenal beer. It's low percentage, it's very sessionable, so if you are in the area, and I'm sure you can probably get it around NYC as well. Mary Jo, I don't know if you've had it, but the Funky Buddha
Funky Buddha is actually the name of the brewery, so yes, nice pick.
Oh right, yes. Okay, yeah, so
you know what's funny, we don't get that all that often up here, but I have had a chance to have a couple of their beers and they're excellent.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic, so definitely try and pick them up. And the and anything by Cigar City as well,
this
time of year.
Sure.
Well, any time of year, Cigar City is amazing.
I can tell you're turning into a Floridian. You're picking Florida breweries.
Definitely, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to be back in a couple of weeks with our next guest on MJF Chat, so make sure you watch for that. I'll be posting who it's going to be in the forums on petri.com, and then that'll be your signal, listeners, to send in your questions. Just go to the MJF chat area in the forums. In regard to this chat with Gary, look for audio and the transcript of this, as with all of our chats, on the petri.com site in the near term. Thank you very much.